Well, I'll be. Now, who did this? Who brought these? Did you do that? You didn't do that. Oh. It's a secret admirer? Wow. Thank you. I will. It does. And so you did that? You did that. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. You were kind of looking like you didn't, and I thought, well, who is it? Yeah. Should I put it in my teeth? Thank you very much. Yes, I love them in the house. I do. It's about the only, I guess it's about, those of you that know me, have been out where I live, that's probably about the only feminine thing in my whole life out there, right? And everything else is, you can just say, oh, it's a man cave. It's a man cave now with flowers. So, you know, yeah, you can definitely tell. But anyway, I want you to know, you'd be so proud of me. I actually vacuumed yesterday. It did. That stuff that was growing back there in the back room, I hoed it up and got it out. And then I took the steam cleaner and I steam cleaned it. Can you believe that? And I put that good smelly stuff in there, and the house smelled clean. I actually do that every Friday. Friday is usually my day, and I clean that place. So, see there? It's not as bad as everybody thinks it is. At least where you can see it. Have a simple... You know, I caught myself the other day, and if any of you ever do this, you see this in movies and stuff, but yes, I caught myself doing it, and I thought, and I laughed at myself. I thought, now that is really a guy thing that you just did. I was walking through there, and there was something on the floor. And no, I don't know. It was probably a rock that got caught. You know, these hiking boots have those little, you can catch little rocks in it. It was lying there on the floor. And that instinctive thing, and after I did, I thought, now that was a guy thing. I just took it and kicked it. And it flew up somewhere against the wall, and I thought, there, got rid of that. And then it dawned on me, if any gal saw you do that, she'd kill you. But it's like it worked. And it just came like that. And I thought, I've done that before. You kick something under the bed, or you knock it to the side. Anybody else ever done that kind of thing? Oh, okay. There's one. And you know, if it's not, under the sofa. Yeah, kick it under something. It's clean now, and it's out of the way. And so anyway, I did that, and I laughed at myself. I thought, look at you. There you are. You know, and it was, but I heard it hit the side of the wall, so it was a little rock or something. Thought, it's out of the way, and it'll be out of the way till I run in there in my socks or something and step on it, and then, you know, how that goes. So today, we're going to look at one of, in most churches, most denominations, this verse is worked over. So it's not a brand new one. And other, you know, and it's been, I've hit on it in so many messages, but yet God just kind of like, that's what I want, that's what you do. You know it instantly. And in John 14:6, and I titled this because that's what it is, the way, the truth, the life. But, you know, we'll come up here with this, and it's just, and then put it in the New Living Translation. And it's just that one verse, John 14:6, and let's see, is it on the way? But anyway, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You've heard this, right? Everybody familiar with this one? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. We say, okay, we know that. We hear that. Okay, so that's it, right? And then, and as you begin to take these verses and then research them. Study them. If anybody's really interested in digging deep, there's a commentary, I guess, you can look it up online. I prefer to read stuff in my hand. I'm still the book type. But there is a commentary. It's an older commentary. I don't trust a lot of the newer commentaries that are out there on Scripture. They're just too liberal. They take the Scripture and they don't stay with it, in my opinion. But it's called the Expositor's Bible Commentary. And if you want to get serious, that's the serious one. And it gets down in there and takes it word for word and verse by verse, and it's not in super academia like a lot of seminary commentaries are. That's one, if you're going to teach a class, whatever you're going to do, then that's one to have. I don't know what it costs now. Have no idea. But if you're serious, that's serious. And it'll give you a lot of background and understanding of the Word. So, not to ramble on this, but I'm just saying that stuff, the kind of stuff I go to, I use. Yes, I've studied it for years and years and years. Here's another thing. No matter how much you've studied anything, don't trust yourself. Always go back and study again. And study again. And find something new. You don't want to go to a doctor who never goes to anything to keep up to date. You want to know that that doctor goes all the time, yearly or whatever, and they're learning something new. They're seeing what's out there. What adds to this that will help you? The same way in studying Scripture or anything else, don't stop studying. Don't assume, well, I've studied that, I know it. If you think you know it when it comes to the Bible, you don't. And it'll jump out. I mean, I've looked at this stuff for upteen years, whatever upteen years is, and something new all the time. So here's new today. So let's go get it. So I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's more to it. You can read that for yourself, but we're going to focus on that. So we start with our first little point here when Jesus said, I am the way. Now, here we go. What does that say? What have you been taught? I am the way to what? What comes, what have you been taught? What comes into our head and our heart? Heaven. Yes, he is. I am the way to heaven. Okay, you say that's it? We already know that. I am the way to heaven. But how in the world do you get on that way? And what is that way? What does that way mean? You see, when you hear this, I've heard it preached, and I've brought messages on it, and taught in the seminary, and we look all this kind of stuff, and it's, I'm the way to heaven. But then what in the world does that mean? It means I'm the path. He explains. See, Scripture explains Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. And Jesus went on to say, what did he say? He talked about the straight and narrow path, and the broad way to hell is wide, the gates open, and many of the are that find it, but very few find that straight and narrow path. And what he was saying was, the way, my way, is a straight and narrow path. And very few find it. So it's a very, very hard gate to get through, and it's a very narrow path. And so we take this and say, well, Jesus is the way. Ask Jesus in your heart, and you'll go to heaven. And it's like, you know what? We got to be real careful about that. Ask Jesus in your heart and show in your life that he's in your heart, because many people say they believe in Jesus and you don't see anything in their lives that represents Jesus Christ. You ever watch this phenomenon? There's a lot of people that say they know Christ, but I'm wondering, does Christ know you? Because he said in his word, in that day you'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not work these miracles in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now this is not to scare anybody to death, but it's to say, when Jesus Christ, he's the way to God, to heaven. But you need to be sure that you're on his path, his way. And not some man-made way, not some church way, not some denominational way. Jesus is the way. And your life has to show it. He said, by their fruits you'll know them. He said, abide in me, over in John, here in this same chapter, right here in John. Abide in me, live in me, and I will live, abide in you. And you say, okay, so when he talks about this way, he's the way to heaven. But be absolutely sure that that way in your heart, that he is in your heart and that you are in him. And your life will show it. No, your life will never become perfect on this earth, but it will become this one word I've used before. That's what God's looking for. Your life will never be perfect on earth, but it must become consistent. Everybody with me? It must be consistent. You'll fall, you'll trip, you'll stumble, you'll wrap around things. You lose your temper, and this is going to happen. But be consistent. Come back, come back, come back. And you need to be sure that the way, Jesus Christ is the way, that you're staying in the way, that you're living in the way, and that he is in you, Christ in me, my hope of glory. Everybody with me? He's the only true way. He's the straight way. He's the narrow way. And we say, okay, that's heaven. Yeah, well, here's the real kicker. And here's where it starts to grab you. You say, okay, so Jesus is the way to eternal life. Yes. He's the way to heaven. Yes. He's the straight and narrow path. Yes. Is anything at all coming out with that straight and narrow path? You see, the straight and narrow path is a path. It's a way you walk. Well, when you get to heaven, you're not on a path. Your path has reached its conclusion. You've reached your destination. When he said, the way is narrow, and all, but he's that path he's talking about, that's the life you live now. So when he said, I am the way, watch this. Here's the part that's left out of this. I am the way to heaven. But I am, through me, you get to God, you're in heaven. But I am the way you're to live now that shows that heaven's already in you. I am the way now for you to live that straight and narrow, what do you call it? Path. That's how you walk on your way to heaven. I'm that way. And people miss that. We just write it off and say, okay, Jesus is the way. Whew, got him in my heart. He's in me, right? Okay. No, he said, that's what I am. But I'm also the way, the straight and narrow path I want you living now. And I was writing these notes and looking at this. You got to think about it. You have to meditate on it. You got to study it. You got to say, there's more in this scripture, isn't there, God? There's more in this line. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the way. Don't make this easy on yourself. Don't tell a half-truth. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to God through putting your faith in me. Accept me in your heart, repenting of your sins. But I said path, didn't I? I said narrow gate. I said that path is a difficult path. It's a small one. And it's narrow, and it's like, so path means not destination, but journey. That's right. Journey means the life you live now. It's like, oh, crud. You mean it's getting complicated again? Why can't I just sit on that one that, wow, I asked Jesus in my heart, I'm saved. And it's like, yay, good for you. Now show it. Because if your life doesn't show it, then are you? Jesus is the only true path, friends. But guess what? That path, and I just look at this, and I said, what is it about this path then? When Jesus said, the path and the broad way, and we all know that passage, but I am the way, and I'm the path. I'm that little small gate, narrow way. What's on that path? Well, one thing is very narrow, and it's hard. Listen to me. When I was saved, and when many of you, I say when I was saved and I asked Jesus in my heart, there was, some of you may remember this era. You may have been brought up in it. Some of you may not. But it was presented to you, and there's a lot of people, a lot of them doing it today, that Christianity is more like a game. It's more like a, an everyday Christmas party. If you listen to all these guys on television, what are they telling you? That God put you here to be blessed. God wants you prosperous. God wants you successful. Send me your money, and I guarantee you God will bless you for that money you send, right? Oh, okay. But I mean, basically, that's it. God never said in His Word that He sent Jesus Christ down here to make anybody rich. And He did not say that He sent Him down here for everybody to have just one easy, smooth, you know, every day is a little smoothie life. God sent Jesus Christ down here to redeem us to Himself. But if we look at the life that Christ lived, let me ask you this. From a worldly perspective, did Jesus live a happy life on this earth? And I had to look at it, and I was complaining to God, there's some things in my life making me unhappy. And and then it came to focus here in the way, and it's like, was Jesus happy? Now, did Jesus have God's joy in His heart? Yes. But was He, and from a worldly, from this earth, happiness? No. How much happiness did the man was he ever allowed to have? There was somebody after him all the time. There were people talking about him behind his back all the time. He had a whole religious sect that hated him. I mean, when you got the religious leaders and the lawyers after you, what else is there? That's what they were. They were the Pharisees, religious leaders, and then there were the Sadducees and all these people, and they were the legal people. So you get the church leaders and the legal system after you. They were after Him all the time, trying to trip Him up constantly. Jesus never can let down His guard. Do you realize that's why He went up on the mountain to pray? That's why He got alone what little time He could? Because any time He was around people, He was teaching them, setting the example, showing them God's love, but there was somebody out there with sticks and stones throwing them at Him. And He's saying, whoever would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. This is not to paint a picture, Christianity is terrible. No, it's wonderful. But quit that was put in my head. If you just ask Jesus in your heart, He's going to make it all right. Things are going to work out. It's going to be good. It hasn't all been good, friends. It hasn't all been great. Been a lot of things out there that just I've never understood and never will. I don't today. The way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But He's also the way I'm supposed to live. And He wants me to take on His character by letting Him dominate my life. And many Christian people who call themselves Christians never give themselves over to the Lordship of Jesus. He's not in control of their life. They want the fire insurance. They want to be saved. But it's another thing altogether to be committed to Him and let Him live in us to where we're willing to walk this path that's narrow and it's hard and it's frightening. And people don't like us walking it. What do you think is really going on out here in this world today? In our own government, do you think they love Christians? You know why? Have you ever asked yourself, why do these people not care about us? Why do they want Christianity out of the schools? Why do they want Christianity out of our whole system? Because as long as you and I as Christians walk this planet, as long as we preach and teach and breathe Jesus Christ, we convict them of their sins and they don't want to be convicted. It's the truth. Every time we open our mouths and we're talking about Jesus, the Antichrist, the people that don't believe, they're offended. And why are they offended? Because they don't want to hear that what they're doing is biblically, morally, ethically wrong. It's the truth. And friends, it's not just government. Listen, there's religions, there's churches, there's denominations. They don't want to hear the truth. Right now, there are churches voting, some already have, They're voting whether to be woke churches. Well, if you vote to be a woke church, then don't tell me that you believe in Christ and His Word. And they're voting. Are we going to be woke? It's like, if you say you're Christians, I thought you were woke already. Didn't He wake you up? So the path of Christ, listen, this path, is it hard? I'm not trying to paint a picture here that's horrible, but listen, if you wake up, you get out there in the day and you say, why is all this stuff happening to me? Why do things keep happening? Why is it? You ever ask yourself that? Why is it every time, it seems like every time I turn around, there's something going on, something's happening in my life. Well, it is hard. You don't think the enemy would try to do everything he can to keep you from getting here today? I thought about that when I was heading down the road. I usually cut through the little country road, 385. I had to go in the junction. I had to go to the truck stop in that little light zone, afraid it'd be flat on the highway. And I'm thinking, and it's wet and everything. And the first thing came to my mind, listen to me, I did. I saw that rain. God's so merciful. And I said, God, I asked you to let this come yesterday. I did. Not on Sunday. I got to drive in this stuff all the way down. And it's going to make me late. And then it's like, oh, you want to complain? So I take off to go out the gate, and there's my low tire light. Come on and say, you want to keep complaining? No, I'm not going to say anything else. But it's not easy, friends. It's just stuff happens. Don't be surprised, it says in the scripture, Peter wrote about that, God through Peter, don't be surprised at this fiery trial that you have to go through. Stuff happens to you. You're no exception, I'm no exception. We all want God's favor, but the truth of the matter is, you can have His favor, but the world's still against you and the enemy's after you. You ever wonder, you just go along and you wonder, you just go sit down and try to have a nice meal and the person that waits on you just so rude? I mean, you think, what pit of hell did you just walk out from? And that happens more and more, doesn't it? Try going through some of these drive-thrus. It's like, where do they find these people? They're the devil's little imps. Listen, it's a hard life. You get new Christians, we should have the classes that teach them how to walk this narrow path. That Jesus, when He said, I'm the way, He's not only the way to heaven, He's the way that you walk, that narrow path, day by day. And it's a hard one and it's frightening. Is it blessed? Oh, yeah. Is it a righteous path? Yes. Is it good? Yes. And let me tell you how to make your life easier. You ready? You want to walk this path the best way you can walk it? Then you walk it this way, surrendered. A lot of things that happen to us in our lives, we say, why is this happening to me? Well, maybe God, just maybe, and I'm saying that He most likely is trying to break you of your self-assurance, of your self-will, of your own independence, so you'll depend on Him, trust Him, and give Him the lordship of your life. He has to do it with me pretty regular. I mean, look what it's taken so far. And I was lying in those hospital beds and, tubes everywhere and all this stuff. And He starts getting your attention saying, you've had to be so self-sufficient all your life and all this. You don't ask me first. You just take off and start fixing things. And you're not going to do it now, are you? And I told the surgeon that after all this, and I said, one of the things I've learned from the Lord through all this, he smiled and said, I think we've all learned, a bunch of ways. I said, yeah, but one thing for sure, is there's a lot of things I'm not in charge of. He said, I learned, that's when he pointed up. He said, I've learned this through your experience with me right here with us going through this together. He said, I've learned one thing that's taught me, listen, I'm not in control. I appreciate a doctor saying that. But I had to learn that too. We can't choose our own destiny. We can't choose how this day is going to treat us. That's in God's hands. I get frustrated sometimes because my prayers aren't answered when the rain doesn't come. Anybody else do that? Yeah, okay. I find disappointment. Why didn't it happen? It'll be thundering all around and then it just goes the other way. You get to thinking, did I say something I shouldn't? Was the message last week not too good? And it's like, oh, it's all about you, Tony? Really? And then, it's like, watch that, because there'll be some other things here. But listen, the path of the cross, Jesus' path, is surrender, commitment, and it's self-abandonment. I can't keep us all day, but think about these words. It's abandoning yourself. Give up yourself. You say, how do I do that? Oh, quit being so self-absorbed. I say it so nicely when I'm out with people or couples and they're going at each other. That it's amazing anymore. They used to not do this. I sit there and they'll just go at each other and I'm just sitting there like a bystander. All I have to say is, well, what is it exactly you're upset with him about? And it's like, that's a grenade. Don't do that anymore. You just pull the pin. And I'm going, oh, wow. And then, but you're trying to really do this right? This is what you do in marriage work, right? And so you turn to the other and say, well, how does that affect you? And then she said, and he said, and there they go at it. And finally, it stops. I'm going to put you both in the back seat. Don't make me come back there. And you reach the point where you have to finally say, you know, it's a matter of both of you. You're not his. You're not the problem. And you're not the problem. You're blaming each other. You're your own problem. You're so self-absorbed. Every little word that one of you speaks. Right? What was your, how did you mean that? Your voice. How many of us have heard that? It's your voice. It's the way you said it. There's too many people looking at each other. I'm going to move on. I realized right there, I could feel it. Like it was just like electricity that's coming down. And it's like, Tony, you want to live through this? Move to the next topic. But you get it, right? But and I realize in my own life, let's focus on me, okay? I get self-absorbed. I think when something happens, it's all about me. Really? Listen to me. Listen, this is one of the greatest lessons in life to learn about who Jesus is and walking that straight and narrow path. Listen to me. He is the way to heaven. He's the way to live. But here's how the devil gets you sidetracked. With me, God allowed this real serious thing, as we all know. And so I went through all that. And then I had this emergency surgery because there was a blockage. And it was real bad then. Now, God's purpose in that is to teach me what? Total dependence on Him, trust Him, get myself out of the way. But what did the devil try to throw in there? You ready for this? Is it happened? And there was this spiritual battle going on. You ready for the spiritual warfare side? There's one side, and God's using this to bring me totally in dependence on Him. But the devil is saying, what? Poor me. Why is all this happening to me? What have I done that this is supposed to, you see? And if the enemy can ever get you caught up in yourself, he's pulling you away from God because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ and His will in our lives. It really is. Everything. But I get to looking at my thing and I don't understand. And then this morning I was just throwing that fit. I got to go into the truck stop. And it's like, that's not the check engine light. You got that right. That's what it is. And it's like, listen, it's about God. And you think, well, what could that low tire light happen to go to the truck stop? Because God is teaching you patience and dependence on Him. And it's like, you got here. Nobody's mad at you. It's okay. It's not about you. It's about Christ. Now, if you walk in here and refuse to bring the message because your tire light was on, you see what I mean? But it's that surrender, and I've got to move on. And let me tell you one other thing about this. On this straight and narrow path, there's one thing to keep in mind. As you're surrendering, as you're committing, as you realize that everything in your life is about abandonment of yourself and giving over to Jesus Christ, keep this always, always in mind. On that path, you will not see the whole path. The light you get to walk that path comes as you take one step, you see enough light to take the other. And you take that step and there's a light for the other. And the problem with us in Christianity, all of us, we do this. We want to see the whole path, start, middle, and finish. We want to see God's will in it. We want to see the whole thing. And faith is walking by the light I have to take the next step. In just one little verse, there's incredible punch, isn't there? Power. It's like, whoa. When Jesus said, I am the way, man, there's more. Yeah, you hear these simple messages, I'm the way, the truth, life. You can bring that message in 20 minutes. Are you kidding? Well, he was talking about, man, was being... surrender, all this stuff, self-abandonment, commitment, and walking in the light that I have. And then he turns around, and he's got to say this in another place, and he says, you are the salt of the earth, and you're what? You're the light of the world. But how am I going to be the light unless I learn to walk in the light? He said, you can't light up anybody else's life unless Jesus lights up yours, son. And all this just begins to be, whoa, I'm the salt? Yeah, that's part of the path. On the path, you become the salt. Well, you know, there must be a time there that those two paths are fairly close together, because as walking that straight and narrow path, I'm also supposed to affect those who are on that other path to get them to come over to that path. Right? So I'm the salt and the light. Well, who am I to be that to if I'm on the straight and narrow path and everybody that's on it is the same believer like I am? But there's the others on the wrong path, and I have to be in touch with them, seeing them. You realize it? They're parallel paths, and they're so close together, it's real easy for you to get off and step into the other one and not even realize it. And I'm to be the salt and the light. What does salt do? I know, I'll tell you one thing salt does for me. Number one, I ate too much of it. But I like salt, don't you? I put salt on everything. And some people have been grossed out. I don't know what is wrong with you people. Yeah, I grew up, you put salt on watermelon. Don't eat watermelon without salt on it. How many of you put salt on a watermelon? Oh, thank you. How many of you just can't believe on doing it? Yeah, there you go. It's like, I put salt on a cantaloupe. Yeah, there you go. I put salt on eggs, right? Yeah, there you go. Do you salt your tomatoes? Oh, man, cram the salt on them. Oh, yeah. You know, don't be offended. There won't be many hands on this one. I sprinkle a little salt on strawberries. Has anybody ever done that? Okay. Oh, thank you, ma'am. I got one person. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? A little salt on a strawberry. Whoa. Peaches. Peaches. How many people put salt on peaches? There you go. Look at that. See? Yay, I'm not alone. There's three that didn't. There's three of us. So anyway, you say, what does that mean? We're the salt, and we're supposed to be salt in every blasted thing for flavor, but there's more that salt does. What else does salt do? We know it preserves. It draws things out, and that's when they don't like you. I had a splinter I couldn't get out of my finger right here. It was down in there pretty deep. I took a little bit of water and I made a salt pack out of it. Just a real kind of like a glutinous little mass of salt. And I taped it down. I left it 2 days. When I pulled that off, the splinter pulled out with it. It pulled it completely out and it was there. Salt draws. Salt heals. But let me tell you one other thing it does. It burns the dickens out of you when you have a wound. And the salt that we're to be, we are to get into the wounds of people's lives, and it's supposed to burn a little bit so that it draws out the poison. And we are not just to flavor, we're not just to preserve, but we're also to bring a little bit of burn, conviction. The Holy Spirit will do it. And you stand true to the Word. That's why you have to surrender, be committed, self-abandonment, and become the salt and light. Everybody with me? It does all those things. Man, there's times I don't even know I have a cut, and you start salting something, and we've all done it, and it's like, whoa. Well, that's what Christians do. That's what we do, and we do it for each other. Sometimes, listen, folks, we don't even know we have a moral cut in our lives. We don't realize we have an ethical cut. We don't realize there's something not right in our lives, and then others start saying something not to us, not condemning us, just talking about whatever, and they're talking about Jesus and talking about His Word, and suddenly that's that salt poured in there, and it's burning, but I'm convicted, and it's something God is using the salt to burn in my heart to get me to confess and get right with Him. Is everybody here? So that way is a path of believing and speaking our belief in Jesus Christ. It's letting Christ live in us, and it's letting be all these things. Yes, it's the way to salvation and eternal life, but it's also, listen to me, that straight and narrow path, that path, Jesus said, I am the way, that path of I am the way. I'm the way to God, and I'm the way to live because you're in Christ right now. Yeah, it's the way to heaven, and what else is it? It's the only way you're ever, ever going to understand people is to stay on that straight and narrow path. Listen, one of the greatest challenges for us as Christians, it's not just to resist the devil and all that. It's to understand people. You must never let yourself get so angry, so bitter, so hardened by life that you close your heart to other people. And through walking that straight and narrow path, listen to the junk that happens to you. Through the people's nastiness and haughtiness and their ego thrown at you and they're being rude to you, learn the things not to do. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and I can't learn what it is I don't want done unless it's done to me. So every time somebody slaps you in the face verbally and they're rude to you at the drive-thru, whatever it is, then you just make that little check mark. Say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. And you're teaching me this is what you don't want in my life. You want me to make every person in my life that I meet feel that they're the most special and important human being in the world. That's what Jesus does with us. When He speaks to us, He, through His Word, in prayer, through the moving of His Spirit, we are the most important being on the face of the planet to Him. Let that be your goal. There's no way I'm going to finish this message. I can't get off the first point of one little verse. But there's just so much. Can we come back to it? You just wait till we get the rest of it. Man, in one little verse and all of a sudden you're saying, whoa, we could write a book on this. Probably should. I need to close it. So we're going to say this. Walking that straight and narrow path is the only way I'll ever understand myself. Through what I went through, I started learning a lot more about me that I didn't know, and some of it I didn't want to know. Grew up in a rough life. Then I go through all this training, all this stuff, military and all this. And it took an emergency surgery and me lying there and, oh, God, it was. Feeding tube and all that. And suddenly I realized, and a chaplain came to see me, and I shared this a little bit, but somebody, and I told him, he said, you don't seem yourself. I said, I think I'm hitting the wall. We've talked about the military and my life and all that. And I said, none of that ever, it didn't beat me. I said, I think this one that's coming close to death has beaten me. And he said, you know, tell me what you mean. I said, it's broke me in myself. I said, I don't know if my hope is there and my faith is real small. And you know, that's the first time in my life that I had to admit that kind of thing to me. That I have finally found something that kicked the living daylights out of me. I felt so helpless, and I was. Couldn't do anything for myself. And that's when you find out all about you. And I realized, buddy, you're broken. You have come to the end of your rope here. Everything you had to grow up with, all the hardness, self-sufficiency, everything, and you can't put a glass of water to your mouth. You can't move. You can't do anything. Friends, that was part of my narrow path experience that I had to go through. And I hated it. But now I love it. But I don't ever want to go through it again. But I had to come to the place to where Tony couldn't fix it. Tony had no solution. Tony couldn't even take care of himself. If you've been there, you know what I mean. You can't do nothing. It's humiliating. They're pulling everything off of you. Terrible. And you come out of that and you need to be angry and hurt and bitter and mad at God, or you turn around and say, that's what it took to break me, wasn't it? That's what it took to say, are you going to walk the straight and narrow path depending on me, or do you still think you can take care of it yourself? That's hard when you've been trained another way. But God's way is a way of surrender, giving it all up. And finally saying, I can't. I can't. And you know what you hear? I can. That's what I heard. I can't, God. I can't walk this path. I can. I'm with you. And I'll never leave you or forsake you. So let it do what it needs to do. And I will be in you. Jesus Christ in me, my hope of glory. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're giving us. We thank you for, God, your power, the moving of your spirit. We thank you, God, it just takes what it takes. Make us and keep us willing to let you do whatever you want to do so that we can become what you've put us here to be as we walk this path. Yes, Lord, you are the way. The way. And we'll see the truth and the life. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you for being here.